Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Notice how Jesus repeats himself in verse 24 when he states that his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Well, what does that mean exactly? To fully understand what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth, we must first look at the meaning behind both of these words. So let's look at spirit. The Greek word is pneuma. It's actually spelled P-N-E-U-M-A. And it's where we get the word, actually, pneumatic. It means air, essence, soul, God, principles. Jesus addresses the issue of worship first with the unseen, God, soul, and principles. Worshiping God in spirit is to worship him in our inner self, the unseen part of us, where our spirit is and where our principles are held. Mark 12, verse 30. Jesus tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. Heart, soul, and mind are words directly related to worshiping, loving God in spirit. Truth. We all know what truth is, right? The Greek word is aletheia. It means truth. It is important to know that the Gospel of John often equates aletheia to Jesus. Truth is also often equated to the Word of God. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, the Word, which is truth, is God. Then, later on, John says in 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Jesus, the Word, the truth, became flesh. It's easy for all of us, and for me, to repeat the daily grind of life and go through the motions. For me personally, I know that I have to focus on my relationship with God, have deep, meaningful time with him to overcome the daily rinse and repeat of this life with work, family, school, functions, driving kids back and forth, going to sports events, music, etc. I am not my best when I don't have consistent quiet times and lead my family in devotionals. When those things are not consistent, I'm more loving, more patient, more giving, more sacrificial, etc. There is more reverence, adoration, reflection, humility, and obedience. All things needed to worship God in spirit and in truth. When you turn to 1 John 1, verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Let me ask you guys something. Who in here is scared of the dark? And I want to see a show of hands who are brave enough to actually raise your arm right now. Who's your... Thank you for being brave enough to raise your arm. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A long time ago, on a dark night, I'm driving through a rural wooded area with my wife, Annette. Where's Annette? Up there? Raise your hand. Oh, there you go. And we're driving through this rural wooded area late at night, and my wife says to me, "Oh my gosh, Rob, this is like being in the movie with Jason." And I'm like, "What?" "You know, Friday the 13th. And I look over at her, and she is really scared. I laughed a little, and she explains to me that the Carolinas are really different in comparison to Puerto Rico, because we have so many areas that are not lit up at night. We also have trees that look identical to the movies." After the trees comment, I immediately start thinking of the movie scenes that scared me to death as a kid growing up, and then I apologized for my laugh. Next thing I know, Annette pulls up the Jason theme song on her phone, and when we're both laughing. Needless to say, nobody wants to be left in the dark with Jason Voorhees, right? And we most assuredly don't want to be left in the dark with Satan for an eternity. If we walk in the light, God says we have fellowship with one another. So if we're walking in the light as he is in the light, we have to make sure that we're having that fellowship. And the definition of fellowship in the Bible is more than just a meet and greet, hey, how are you, good and goodbye, deal. We have to have real and deep relationships in the body of Christ. So how is that going in our daily life? Are we being vulnerable with each other? Are we talking about our sin and areas needed for growth in our lives? You know, it's kind of like flossing teeth. If you don't do it for a while, plaque builds, gums start to hurt, and then when you finally floss, you bleed, right? But if you do it consistently, your teeth and gums stay healthy. So how are we doing with this? Are you guys with me, church? Are we reflecting daily or just performing the daily grind? Are we growing in our faith or living in repeat mediocrity? Our worship of God is directed by our love for him. If I am walking in spirit and truth with focus, then it will be reflected in my praise to God from my heart and represented with honor in the way that God expresses to us how praise should be given. I will close with one of my favorite psalms. It's the last psalm in the Bible, Psalm 150. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet." My favorite instrument. "Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Good morning. If you can't, be turning your Bibles over to Psalm 37. I'm just going to read one scripture out of there in a little bit. Well, I'm grateful to be up here the second week. Whew. It's funny because, you know, as a new teacher now, we actually have these things called, you know, you have a teaching coach. And I'm not always fired up about my teaching coach because I like to be on top of my game, right? But she'll come in there and she'll look around and she'll be like, yeah, you can work on this and work on that. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. So I had her, she came in on Friday, so it makes you a little nervous or whatever. But anyway, that's sometimes how I can feel when I'm preaching. I'll be like, God, please just help me. But, you know, today what I'm going to be talking about more is along the lines of delight. All right. You know, in Psalms 37, we know the Bible says in verse 4, and we're just going to focus on the first part of it, delight yourself in the Lord. And so the form of worship that I really want to talk about today is, how is that going for you? How is your delighting in God? How is your desire to spend time and be intimate with God going? You know, I know in our lives we can get caught up in the rustle and bustle of life and how things are going. And, you know, being, you know, my wife here, my kids there, my job, my this, my that, whatever the case may be. But how is it going as far as just with you just delighting in the Lord? You know, our passage this morning reminds us of what the right place is. And it is in the Lord himself. I think most of us probably know this, but it's good to be reminded of it. The most important thing that any one of us can do in times like these, and indeed in any time, is delight ourselves in the Lord. And this is going to be our text this morning. So the title, if I gave it a lesson, would be just delight yourself in the Lord. My first point is delight in connecting with God. You know, yesterday, a few of the brothers and I, we got together. Actually, Tim had a getting together, a post M3OG, which was awesome. And it was kind of cool. One of the things that I'm learning as a teacher is to be humble and ask for help. Well, in this thing with the brothers, I know there was a brother, Craig, and a few other brothers I was in there with. And I was asking them, like, what are you guys doing to connect with God? Like, do you guys really go around and ask each other the question like that? Like, what are you doing to connect with God? What are you doing to delight in God more and get close to God? Because I need help. But it was cool just to hear him talk about, he's, you know, the old DPI books. He was talking about he's going back through Teach Us to Pray. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was good. And just talking about how his prayers are evolving. But it's cool to hear from other people how they worship God. And I know everybody in here has a different flavor of their worship. But you know, the word delight, actually in the Hebrew word, that it's used about a half a different times in the Bible, its meaning is delicate and soft. In Isaiah 66:11, it uses it as nursing a child who delights in his mother. Or Isaiah 13:22 uses it as luxuries that are found in a palace. Delight may be in people, things, or various experiences. Like, I know I delight in college football. We all delight in something. Because think about the things that you delight in, they're the things you spend the most time in, right? The most time doing. But what are you delighting in now? Turn your Bible, if you can, over to Psalms 16. Psalm 16. I love the Psalms because when David is talking about delighting in the Lord, we know that he's a man after God's own heart. So you know he's going to be right in tune when he's talking about this. But Psalm 16 is all about delighting. So in Psalm 16, we're going to start in verse 5. The Bible says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me. That's awesome. And if you go down to verse 11, it says, you have made known to me the path of my life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. See, the amazing thing about delighting is we can be delighting in all these things in the world. We can be delighting in our favorite TV shows, our favorite foods. You fill in the blank of what you're delighting in. But what kind of eternal significance does delighting have in your life? And that's the thing that I've been asking myself lately. Like, yeah, I'm going to have a job. I'm going to be stressed out. I got a teaching coach. I got a wife. I got kids. I got all these things going on in life. All these things, even, and sometimes they're good. They can be consuming me. But I'm asking God, God, help me. Teach me how to delight in you. How to just desire just to be with you. Just to connect with you. Because that's been kind of the theme of me. So actually, as I'm sharing with you guys today, I'm actually preaching to myself. Amen. But what are you delighting in this morning? That's the question I want you to ask yourselves. And as we see in Psalm 16, David says this. This is the joy and pleasure to be found in the presence of the Lord. We will have its fullness in heaven, but it can begin now. We are to find our pleasure and delight in God. And that's the thing that I'm really going after in my own life. Like, how can I delight in you? Because I know, you know, being a Christian for a long time, you know, you can start feeling a little dull. You can start feeling a little like redundant or just going through the motions. But that's where I believe where maturity comes in. Because sometimes it is going to feel like it's going through the motions. But that's okay, because it's not all going to feel like a honeymoon. Because I think delighting in God is not always about how you feel. It's about being connecting and being close to God no matter what. Amen. And this leads me to my final point. So my second point is commit to the commitment. All right. Let me say that again. Commit to the commitment. And what I mean by that is committing to God's word. Let's look over at Psalms 119. And I will close out with this. In Psalms 119, we're going to start in verse 16. This is one of the long, well, I guess it is the longest psalm in the Bible, but it has a lot of, good meat in here. In Psalms 119, starting in verse 16, it says, I delight in your decrees, I will not neglect your word. Verse 24 says, your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. In verse 47, it says, for I delight in your commands because I love them. And then if we go to verse 89, it says this. I love this. This is one of my favorite. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. That's amazing. And like I said before, delighting in God is not about feelings. It's about committing to his word. I love that saying, though, commit to the commitment. Commit to the commitment of getting and digging in God's word. Whether you're feeling it or not feeling it, just keep doing it. And I think it'll make more sense when I share this right here. So C.S. Lewis, in what I consider one of his greatest works, his Sermon of the Weight of Glory, writes that Greek and Latin students, when they are very young and are first learning the language, have to do very difficult work of just memorizing words and paradigms, which can be very dry and dull indeed. Few people are willing to give the time and attention necessary for the mastery of those languages, but he said, when they have mastered them, they delight in reading the Greek and Latin classics in those original languages, which today can enjoy. But the delight do you come at first? They only come after much discipline and labor that it took to get to that delight. Like, people want to look good, have great physiques, right? But they got to put the work in the weight room to get that, right? Amen. You guys know what I'm talking about there. What we need to understand is that it can be like that in our walk with God too. When you hear the preacher say, you can find delight by walking with God every day in prayer and his word, you may go home and begin to read your Bible and say some prayers, but you don't find any joy in it. Indeed, you may not. Perhaps God may give you a foretaste of joy in those first devotional times. Amen, I've been there. The honeymoon period, you call it. Or it may be at first for you just like those Greek and Latin students, as Lewis was referring to. At first, it may just be discipline for you. You read the word, you start to learn what it means, you sing some songs, pray some prayers. At first, it may be merely discipline. But if you are truly a Christian, that is the key factor. And if you continue in it, then you will eventually find delight and joy for your time with God in heaven. Amen. Thanks for letting me share.